Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to work this out one of these days, I promise. All right, tonight I want to begin with our opening hymn. Now, I recognize that it might not be the most familiar hymn to you, and I know that we haven't sung it in at least the last 3 years, but I sang this hymn last week, and it really hit me. And so I want to spend the very beginning of our sermon tonight really going through some of the words from that hymn to show you why it was important to me that I choose it and that we'll be singing it again. Think of these words. When those whom I regarded as trustworthy and sure have long from me departed, God's grace shall still endure. He rescues me from sin and breaks the chains that bind me. I leave death's fear behind me. His peace I have within. The Lord my life arranges. Who can his work destroy? In his good time he changes all sorrow into joy. So let me then be still, my body, soul, and spirit, his tender care inherit according to his will. And stanza 6. Yet even though I suffer the world's unpleasantness, and though the days grow rougher and bring me great distress, that day of bliss divine, which knows no end or measure, and Christ who is my pleasure, forever shall be mine. Your authorities are telling you all sorts of conflicting things. Who do you trust? Where do you turn? What are you going to do? We trust God. We have left death's fear behind us because in Christ's resurrection, he has conquered the grave for us. We now go about our lives as he has called us, not fearing the world, not fearing the devil, not even fearing death. We leave its fear behind us because the Lord arranges our lives. The same one who knit you together in your mother's womb knows exactly when he is going to call you out of this life. And if that is so sure and so secure, then how can we be so afraid? God arranges our lives. Who can his work destroy? In his good time, he changes all sorrow into joy. Weeping only lasts for a night. When you lose those that you love, there is great mourning. And that's understandable, because your flesh yearns to be near them, and even your soul. But we also know that those who die in the Lord do not die eternally, for they are waiting for us with Jesus. And if that is the case, and I promise you that it is, then we don't have to be so afraid. We have something to look forward to. We have great joy to look forward to. We have an eternity of rejoicing to look forward to. So let me then be still, my body, soul, and spirit, his tender care inherit according to his will. Live your life according to the will of God. Love him, serve him. Love your neighbor as yourself and serve him too. Sometimes that looks different, no matter where your situation is, but ask for God's guidance. He hears your every single prayer because he is your Father who loves you greatly, loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die in your stead, to conquer that death for you. Yet even though I suffer the world's unpleasantness, I know I talked about this recently, but it's ramping up more and more. The world hates you. You need to remember that. And no matter how much you pander to the world, it will never love you. No matter what you try to tell them that appeases what they want to hear, they will never love you. So forget it. Stop it. Rather, seek out the things that God desires. You are a Christian. You have received the name of Jesus upon you in the waters of holy baptism. He has called you to live separately. He has called you to live differently. If your life mirrors the life of a non-Christian, then where is your faith? Do you have a living faith? Because if you have a faith that is alive in you, you will be guided in all the days and all the ways of your life. Listen to God's word. Live out his desires for your life. Share his love with others. Flee from sin, from sexual immorality, and all those things that hamper. Rather, turn to him. And though the days grow rougher and bring me great distress, the world is rough. Your life is rough. Perhaps you're dealing with a terrible disease. Perhaps you know that your body is growing frail. Trust God and know that no matter what happens to your body in this life, your body will be renewed and refreshed to praise Jesus Christ in the new heavens and the new earth for eternity. We look forward to something that's coming. That day of bliss divine, which knows no end or measure, and Christ, who is my pleasure, forever shall be mine. The bliss divine, when all the dead will rise from their graves, and all those who are living will reunite, and those who love God, who serve him in faith in Jesus Christ, will be with him for eternity. And we know what happens to those who refuse to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, not just with their lips, but also with their hearts. They will be cast into eternal fire. I say that not to try to frighten you into faith, but I say that to remind you of the truth. The world might try to judge you right now, but it is not your judge. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the judge, and he is our pleasure, and he will forever be ours. In our introit, we start with these words: Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. God has your life in his hands. He numbers your days, and he loves you. He knows every hair upon your body. He looks at you and says, Dear son, dear daughter, I love you. I sent my son to die for you. He has covered you in all of your sin. Turn away from that which plagues you in your flesh. Turn to me. Live for me. Tell others about me, and I will give you life. In our Old Testament lesson, we see, 2 Samuel, that God is a lamp. He lights not only our path, but he works as light to shine through us to others. Let your light so shine, and with God you can run even against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. Now, I don't suggest you actually go and try to leap over a wall like Superman, right? He can go over a whole building in one giant leap. That's not the point here. The point is that in Christ, you can do all things. Christ strengthens you. And really, how important it is to do things in your flesh. It pales in comparison to living out your faith. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for those who take refuge in him. Again, I can't promise you that you will not taste death in this life. In fact, I can tell you that it will be the opposite way. You will probably taste death unless Christ returns before that day. But what I can tell you is he is your shield for eternity. He blocks out death, disease, sorrow, mourning, tears, scorching sun for eternity. So find your refuge in him. When you are tempted in your flesh to seek after the things of this world, flee from them. And remember that no matter how hard that temptation is, St. Paul writes these wonderful words that remind us, No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. For 40 days, the devil had his way with Jesus. He tempted him in every way that you've ever been tempted. And yet Jesus was without sin. Now, I know that you're not God and I'm not God, and we will fail, even though he has been faithful. But he is an example. He gives us an example of what to look for. And remember this, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. When you're in the middle of a temptation, look around you, because often God does provide you a door to escape that temptation. Now, our old Adam is weak, and at times we fail to find that door and to go through it. But know that it is there. The Old Testament is written down for our learning. St. Paul also writes that. These things took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did. These things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction. How important is it to actually read God's word? Read the Bible. It's of the utmost importance. I'm here every week to give you Christ's gifts in word and sacrament. But every single day, you should open his word. Read it. Mark it. Learn it and inwardly digest it so that it flows through you, that God's word is in you. At times when you pray and you wonder, God, where are you? Why aren't you hearing me? Why aren't you answering me? Open his word. He has answers there for you. Build yourself up. Turn off the media and open God's word, because there is life. Our gospel lesson is a tricky lesson to preach on, which is why I've spent so much time on everything else. But I do want to take a little bit of time to look at that. So Jesus says, in this parable, that the manager says, yep, go ahead. It's good that you were shrewd. It's good that you were dishonest. Lay up earthly wealth so that they can take you into eternal dwellings. Money. Or better yet, in the King James, mammon. That is a desire for wealth, a desire for money. Money itself is not the root of all evils, but rather the desire for money is. Money is not in and of itself wicked. But if you choose to do that which will bring you earthly wealth, rather than be about what your Father gives you for eternity, then money, or mammon, becomes your God. And we know that those who flee from God and find for themselves earthly mammon will be received into eternal dwellings, but not God's. He goes on to say, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Follow God's will, for his will is always best. Think about right after these words, and I know it's not in your text for tonight, but the verses right after are these. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard these things, and they derided him. He said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The world wants you to do something. God wants you to do something. And almost always those two things are opposite of each other. So who are you going to serve? Choose for yourself this day as Christians who you are going to serve. Mammon, the desires of your flesh, the desires of this world that are fleeing and will give you nothing in the end, or God. In the words of Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so the church sings, the world seeks after wealth and all that mammon offers, yet never is content, though gold should fill its coffers. I have a higher good, content with it I'll be. My Jesus is my wealth. What is the world to me? Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.